This is side two of broadcast number 662, August 13th, 1984. Now, Ellen Marie Taylor was described, as I say, in various articles, just very briefly, and eliminated the subject of the Western goals and considering the institutions been in the news for an entire year, and the Los Angeles Police Department settled almost a $2 million lawsuit rather than go to court over the links of J. Paul from the Los Angeles Police Department to Western Goals. That gives you an idea of how important it was, and it has to still be silenced. Now, the National Endowment for Humanities, this appointment that she got, is written up in the New York Times. It's May 30th, 1984. About, it says, the art or science of nitpicking, the National Endowment for Humanities. And it tells about the funding, which I mentioned before on the broadcast, $140 million, that will decide matters that have to do with and including religion. It has to do with support of philosophy, history. Imagine our history in the hands of these people. Religion, studies, and other subjects in the humanities. And it's in this article in the New York Times that the controversy over Ms. Taylor came up when she was nominated for the public broadcasting. I used that article from Village Voice last time about public broadcasting and how a telephone call caused her appointment to be blocked by Barry Goldwater, the senator from Arizona. This is the way the story went, according to the New York Times, and it's pretty important to share with you. Ms. Taylor said that Sharon Percy Rockefeller, chairman of the corporation, that's the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, asked her father, Senator Charles Percy, Republican of Illinois, to persuade Senator Goldwater to block the nomination of Helen Marie Taylor to the public broadcasting, to this very important thing also, because the major networks are already controlled. So it's this Corporation for Public Broadcasting that allows stations like KQED out here, and I don't know what the letters are, back east. And according to the story, she called and asked her father, can you get Mr. Goldwater to block the nomination? Mrs. Rockefeller did this, Ms. Taylor said, because she feared losing her majority support on the board running the public broadcasting, which was, the fund was just given back more money for public broadcasting that could have been turned down. Ms. Taylor made it clear that she would have opposed Mrs. Rockefeller if she had been a member of the board. For her part, Mrs. Rockefeller insisted and denied that she had any role in blocking Mrs. Taylor for the appointment. She didn't want the responsibility for it and said she didn't do it. But Mrs. Taylor said that her information came to her from a cousin by marriage, General Albert Wedemeyer. I mentioned him last week, 2 weeks ago, Wedemeyer, who spoke to Senator Goldwater and related the account of the Percy intercession. General Wedemeyer called Goldwater, and he revealed, maybe he didn't know they were kissing cousins, that it was this Sharon that called in and didn't want her on the board. Senator Goldwater's aide, of course, wouldn't answer the phone. General Wedemeyer said he didn't ask Goldwater to approve the nomination of Mrs. Taylor, but she was a cousin by marriage and a woman of admirable accomplishment. She didn't ask. She probably said, what? He said, you know, to paraphrase it, what in the hell is going on over there? You know, we can't have that. But I remember the name Wedemeyer, this cousin who was concerned about his friend, his cousin by marriage, Helen Marie Taylor, and she's much more than a cousin in terms of political philosophy or the way they see the world. I remember the name Wedemeyer as being a very political and controversial person for positions he had, and I looked up again. I have a very interesting book. It's Webster's American Military Biographies. I don't know if any of you have seen it or known it exists in the library, but if you hear me mention certain people, even if I forget to quote them and look them up here, generals and admirals, go look it up. It's in the library, published by Merriam, GNC Merriam Company. It came out in 1978, and it's invaluable. And it's good to go back and reread these personalities because you forget certain organizations that they were in or their command weren't pertinent to what I or you might have been studying at the time, but mean more later. So I looked up Mr. Wedemeyer. I'm not going to give you the whole background on Cousin Albert. Just a few sentences of Albert Cody Wiedemeyer. He's an old man now, about 86 years old, or 87, nice ripe age. He was born in 1897, and he was at Fort Benning, Georgia. I won't do all the old stuff. He went to the Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, where he graduated from Command and General Staff School in August of 1935. That was between the wars. He got that promotion just 2 years after the Angletons had moved to Milan. He graduated from the Command and General Staff School. Then he went on to Germany to the Intelligence Division of the General Staff in 1936. Now, remember, the Kissingers, and I'm going to go back to that program, part one, that I did on Henry Kissinger and his Nazi connections to London and to Hess, Rudolf Hess, in a few weeks. I don't want to divert too much, but I want to remind you what's in the back of my mind overlaying these particular years and characters. Wiedemeyer left Kansas in 1936 and went to the Intelligence Division of the General Staff at Krieg Sack Academy, which is academy, I'll spell it, Krieg, K-R-I-E-G-S, Krieg's Academy, only spelt with a K, A-K-A-D-E-M-I-E, Krieg's Academy, the German General Staff School, and became the first American officer to do so since World War I. Wiedemeyer went to Nazi Germany. Remember, the Olympics were there in 1936. Do you know how Nazi Hitler was in 1936? Do you know how Nazi Hitler was in 1933, the year that Mr. James H. Angleton took James Jesus to Milan? And 1933, and in 1937, the Kissingers are going to come make a little trip to London, make a little trip to New York, and then put on American uniform with that thick German accent, and knew all the top Nazis that worked with Mr. Chamberlain and the appeasement policy, and the top Nazis in England that wanted Hitler to win, that worked with Goering and Charles Lindbergh. Do you know how thick that crowd was? And Kissinger, Fritz Kramer's brother, stayed in London and was a suspect as a Nazi spy, while his other brother came and put on American uniform. And then Henry Kissinger becomes head of the Council of Foreign Relations, and then he's Secretary of State, he's head of the National Security Council. He gave you the overthrow of Mossadegh with Iran and the Pahlavi Nazis in power, and the killing of Bhutto in Pakistan, Allende in Chile, putting Nazis in. The Kissingers migrated from Europe, Germany, where he had no bad feelings towards German, up to England. Now, Wiedemeyer is going from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas in 1936, where we shouldn't have anything to do with him, into the Intelligence Division of the General Staff at Krieg's Academy, the German General Staff of Hitler's German General Staff, and he graduated in 1938. The invasion of Poland took place in 1939 of September. We'll soon have an anniversary. From 1938 to 1940, he was back at Fort Benning in Georgia, the home of the Rangers and a lot of important people. Georgia is becoming more and more important in terms of military and so forth every time I read these stories over and over again. Then he was assigned with the General Staff in May of 1941 to be the plans officer under General Dwight D. Eisenhower. Remember, after the war, by 1948, Fritz Kramer is the plans officer in the Pentagon. That's the mentor of Henry Kissinger. He's the plans officer under Eisenhower, and he advances to lieutenant colonel temporary in September of 41, December of 41. Of course, we have Pearl Harbor and the war breaking out. Then he goes to the joint. During the period, he also served on the Joint Strategic Committee, and later as the chief of the strategy and policy group with the principal joint and combined ally strategy. He was an aide to Chief of Staff George General Marshall, who with the Marshall Plan began to do what Herbert Hoover was doing after the last war, doling out to the fascists to set up their governments and give them the goodies and to weed out the leftists, not the Marxists, but any leftists. He then went on with to be Deputy Chief of Staff under Admiral Lord Lewis Mountbatten, Supreme Commander in Asia, and Wiedemeyer was Commander of the China Theater. He was Then the chief of staff to General Isamo, Chiang Kai-shek, and was with the Chinese nationalists. And then he goes on, Chiang goes on to Taiwan, and that is the home of the World Anti-Communist League with John Singlaub, Wiedemeyer, the cousin of this Taylor, Helen Marie Taylor. I don't have to say that enough. They're both on Western goals. John Singlaub, who head the World Anti-Communist League with the current Nazis from Nazi Germany, not the neo-fascists, not the neo-Nazis, the original Nazis. From June 46, according to the biography of military personnel, are very important. From June 46 to October 42nd, he commanded the Second Army in Baltimore and at Fort George Meade in Maryland. But now, this is important. From October 47 to November 48, he was director of the Plans and Operation Division of the General Staff. Now, Fritz Kramer, in this time period, becomes, from 1948, the plans officer in the Pentagon, moving from office to office, but it's very important in making decisions of plans. And he was the man, and I'll do more on this. A listener to World Watchers sent me sections of a book, The Role of Fritz Kramer with Westmoreland in the Vietnam War. The way that the Nazis came to this country and became entrenched, or the excuse for them to be used to the extent which we intended to use them from the very day they opened their eyes, was first the Korean War in 1950 and then the Vietnamese War that followed when John Kennedy was going to return the troops, or intended to. The special forces instigated what became the war. Many of you read the recent declassified documents that have come out because of the lawsuit of General Westmoreland against CBS, and it mentions how the CIA really got the war started. And the war was, the CIA was set up by Reinhard Gehlen. So he was in the director of the Plans and Operation Division of the General Staff, then went to San Francisco and worked at the Presidio, retired in 1958, but has served as an officer or director of numerous major corporations. That's what Henry Kissinger does with their General Electric, their electric companies, or MGM Movies, or Amway, Alexander Haig, or United Technology. Haig and Kissinger and Gerald Ford and these various generals hop from corporation to corporation, which is a way to keep the network alive. Well, that's Cousin Albert working strongly with the people from Taiwan, the Asian group tied back to the World Anti-Communist League, and she is now nominated on the National Endowment for Humanities. Do you blame somebody for what their cousin does? I'm sure people write this biography think that's just great that he worked those years with the Nazi German staff. Or it's great that you went to Milan while Hitler came to power and Mussolini's in full swing. I don't think it's great, and I don't think the American uniforms on those guys are great. And I see that whenever there's an opportunity to raise them some way, they do. Now, the New York Times article goes on about other appointments there, like Mary Jo Cressimore, C-R-E-S-I-M-O-R-E, from Raleigh, North Carolina, who was also put onto this National Endowment with $140 million, except for working for the Art Commission. She hasn't done much more. And I mentioned briefly that Kathleen Kilpatrick, she's put on the Art Commission, and it's not only art, it's the National Endowment for Humanities, under the name of Kathleen S. Kilpatrick from New Haven. But her real name, her husband's name, is Andrei Navroskov. I mentioned that before. N-A-V-R-O-Z-O-V. And they publish a very questionable magazine called Yale Literary Magazine. And the university doesn't like the affiliation. It's very, very far right and doesn't like the use of the name Yale. But Kathleen Kilpatrick, with that husband, publishing this stuff using the name Yale, has been recommended for this same committee. And I wanted to briefly run down a few of those other appointments that were, they were listed in the Washington Post, July the 7th, 1984, if you want to get the larger story on this. This is about the National Endowment for Humanities, written by Norman D. Atkins in the Washington Post. He says, with the Senate out of town, the White House this week made recess appointments of its nominees for the National Council on Humanities, though some of them are already under fire over both their politics and their credentials, and they should be questioned by the Senate Labor and Human Resources Committee before being confirmed. And I quoted from another story, Mary Beth Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N. She's the deputy vice president who's retiring, and she said these recess appointments, to paraphrase it, are terrible. She says they are done explicitly to avoid letting the Senate have any say in naming people to the council, and they're very bad. And the president from Bard College, Leon Botstein, who worked with the group, the past president, B-O-T-S-T-E-I-N, of New York, who's on the Council of Humanities, said this list is outrageously bad. Reagan made a catastrophe. My second oldest son graduated from Bard College. I'm glad the old chief of Bard is speaking up. You like to know that your kid's got a fairly decent education or fair education, or by osmosis picked up some of the ability to question just right offhand what the president or any president decides to appoint. He doesn't like the appointments. Now, this article is the one that mentioned that the son of Senator Paul Laxalt, Robert Laxalt, is on this committee. Can you imagine making decisions on religion and matters of history? Robert Laxalt, I don't know the man, but if he were worth it, anything, we would know him. They certainly could pick people who are renowned in history. We're talking about philosophy, history, religion, and humanities. That's what it's about. Paul Laxalt just got $50,000 to run the GOP campaign because he says that doesn't give him enough money if he's tied up running that to give lectures. Right now, the congressmen make more money out of Congress lecturing, not voting, not studying, and being away from the votes and lecturing. But if they go to a lecture, they can be given some of that skimming money that comes out of those Panama banks in their other pocket. What's to keep them, the way they travel around to various organizations, institutions, and then are put on the board of those groups like Henry Kissinger out there with the Dental Society, picking up the money? Well, Brother Robert Laxalt from Nevada, he's a visiting professor of journalism. I don't know. He's not a regular professor. I don't even know if he has a PhD. He's not Dr. Robert Laxalt, the renowned author of A, B, C, and D. He works at the Reno Press, director of the University of Nevada journalism group, the Reno Press. What has the Reno Press published? I wish the credentials for Brother Robert were available, and maybe they should be given to the Congressional Committee to look this up. Another group that has to be watched closely, and I haven't done a broadcast yet on that, is an enclave of what I think are Nazi fascists out of Claremont, California, under the umbrella of Peter Drucker, another German who brought Fritz Kramer to this country, and the godfather of Kissinger. And Drucker is the man behind the multinational corporations. He tucked out there. There's a group of five colleges in Claremont, California. The name came up recently with Mr. Regnery and some publications, and the, again, the far-right group of Edwin Meese, and a very interesting combine of people. As I say, I'll put it on the air soon, but William Allen is the associate professor of government at the Harvey Mudd College. That's one of the colleges. Professor of government. Well, we're not talking about government appointments. They're talking about philosophy, history, religion, and humanities, and what kind of a shtick are you going to get a government out of there that has anything to do with where those $140 million would go? The Harvey Mudd College, he's written articles and books. Let's see the books. What does he know? Another appointment is Reverend James Schall, S-C-H-A-L-L. I might have run these down for you real fast several weeks ago. Associate Professor of Government. This is another Associate Professor of Government, not a full professor. Where are the full professors, Mr. Schall? This time from Catholic Georgetown University. Nothing personal, but again, Georgetown was a source of giving information to Senator Joe McCarthy and running the links of Joe McCarthy to both the Nazis and the Vatican out of that enclave. Georgetown University and the group out of Claremont get thicker all the time, and one of the people to guide them is Reverend James Schall. Now, some articles talked about these appointments and left out the fact that he was a reverend, just a James Schall, when we're getting very close to these reverends and Catholics and the Vatican and Mr. Wilson and his interference with Paul Marcinkus or Mark Rich and court cases and mafia investigations. This is really iffy. And so again, what does he know about philosophy, history, religion? He knows, but we've got enough of that religion. Where are the other religions? And when are the silent ones going to speak up on that? And then a biologist without an MD, Leon Cass, with the Henry Luce Professor of Liberal Arts of Human Biology at University of Chicago. Scientists, you don't need. We don't need any theories about when to do old people in, when, what age do you pull the plug or gas them or pull the oxygen out. What are the ethical implications? This is his study, the ethical implications and the social implications of the biomedical advances, such as the right to life. That's 140 million for them, and those are the kind of people that would be getting those appointments. Another story from the Washington Times, the Reverend Moon paper, July 3rd, 1984, Senator Ted Kennedy wants to block the nominees on the Council for the Humanities. Senator Kennedy has made himself the point man to delay and block the six new nominees, or actually seven, to the National Council on Humanities. And at least Reverend Moon has a story. Washington Post had one, Village Voice had one, New York Times had one. There were four papers. Not the local papers like the L.A. Times, the San Francisco Grand Examiner, San Francisco Chronicle, L.A. Herald, or Houston Post. None of the network papers of the wire services. These seem to be special articles. The Washington Post is written by Norman Atkins. It's not a wire service story. The New York Times is written by Irving Malotsky. It's not a wire service story. So no one around the country really knows what's going on. And this story in the Washington Times tells about Helen Taylor and her fundamentalist religion and how they're trying to block this appointment, and mentions the background of some of the others. The Washington Times says James Shull is a well-known scholar and teaches at Georgetown University, but he doesn't call him reverend. In another article, they say reverend. Now, I have a copy from Western Goals that was procured for me. Information for fundraising. This comes out of Los Angeles from the offices of Western Goals, and I may run down the names of the people again because of Helen Marie Taylor being on the board, and then next week continuing other appointments, but just going over this particular group of the endowments with their 140 million. It really galls me, so I keep repeating it. This is from the desk of Western Goals of the offices in Los Angeles. Information for fundraising causes. They have Mr. Henry Salvatore, that's the kitchen cabinet with William Wilson. This is Ronald Reagan's inner circle, gave $10,000 to Western Goals. Now remember, John Singlaub, who works with Mr. Stefano Della Chiae that I brought up in the beginning, and Helen Marie Taylor, close to this gang. I'm not far off from what I was talking exactly a year ago. John Singlaub is on Western Goals. That's the group we're talking about. The kitchen cabinet gave $10,000 in 1983. This was dated 1984, to a group with direct contact to Lucio Gelli, Stefano Della Chiae, and that gang. $10 million. Mr. Ed Noble, that's the man in charge of the Sinfuel, closing down about $10 million or $6 million. We'll do an update on that, but still getting the highest amount of billions. I'm talking about billion. I'm sorry, it wasn't $6 billion. They cut $6 billion from it, not million. You get the B&M confused. It's used so often. They had not yet contributed. Mrs. Roberta Pugh, and that goes in to Mr. Steinholz, the man who flew the Luftwaffe airplanes on the board of Western Goals, the Pugh family, the oil people out of Pennsylvania, and I'll do more. Mrs. Pugh gave a mere $1,000, but she could give more. That was in 1980. But Mrs. Helen Marie Taylor and Mr. Jacqueline Taylor, that's the husband, and I have the phone number here, in 1981, they gave $12,000 to, that's Larry McDonald, the late Larry McDonald, to Roy Cohn of the Crime Syndicate, to Admiral Moore with the Henry Kissinger connections, to John Singlaub with the World Anti-Communist League, and Mr. Steinholz with the Nazi Luftwaffe Galen operation with their computers that go into Germany, in Munich, Germany. Helen Marie Taylor gave $12,000 in 1981. I don't know if they're related or not. Mr. Dan Agnew, In 1980, from Agnew Enterprises, gave $25,000 and $45,000 in 1980. Mr. Roger Millikan, a head of one of the organizers of the Knights of Malta, close to J. Peter Grace, of course, Roger Millikan funded $50,000 to Western Goals with darling Helen Marie Taylor on the board. In 1981, they gave another $50,000. And the Rommel Foundation, through the Millikans, R-O-M-I-L-L, gave $200,000. This goes to the $100,000 computer in Long Beach to Jay Paul, to the Los Angeles Police Department, that is a vacuum siphoning papers of everyone from this state. They have computers in other states of law-abiding citizens that go into their computers. Okay, the Rommel Foundation, under Roger Millikan, whose organization with J. Peter Grace has a whole slew of Knights of Malta going back to the Vatican, to Licio Gelli, Michael Sandona, Otto Skorzeny, Stefano Della Chiae, Ronald Reagan, and Michael Ledeen and Alexander Haig, the Vatican, White House, CIA, that was the OSS, the Millikans gave a hunky, well, this is $500,000, $200,000 in 81 and $200,000 in 1982, and again, $50,000 in 81 and $50,000 in 82. So you get, and I have the names of other people who gave money to this, Mr. Paul F. Mott from the Kirby Foundation, a mere $5,000. But I'm talking about the big donors, Beverly G. Thompson, Texas Educational Institute, $10,000, and Mr. Jack Chance from the Chance Foundation, $25,000 one year and $25,000 the next and the next. So that is Western Goals, the way they get their money from the Millikans and from Ms. Taylor. And then Taylor gets her appointment to a position where she decides our taste for our country on what is involved in what we call that vague thing, humanities. Hunks of money with a team of sleazy, I shouldn't say that, I don't know them individually, unqualified people from Claremont, from Reno, from Georgetown, unqualified for the appointments. Not only are certain people talking about it, but you read their bio. Let's get their books and fill them in and ask Mr. Robert Laxalt what he's published and see how the Laxalt family, his brother's been accused of skimming money, of owning institution in Texas involved with mafia. What else can you do in Nevada and get anywhere if you're not linked to both the military and the mafia at the same time? So that's enough on the National Endowment on the Humanities. You may write to Senator Ted Kennedy. The Democrats are campaigning. Would they be interested? I don't know. I don't know what the Democrats think or want this year or any other time, or why there's only Senator Ted Kennedy, quote, or Claiborne Pell and a few congressmen that don't like these appointments. Several people I know have called Washington on various matters such as this. Nobody back there ever heard the name of Western Goals. It's a who's who of creeps, of people politically controversial. The late Representative John Ashbrook, his wife Jean Ashbrook, is on the goal, Western Goals. As I say, Roy Cohn. And I could do General Raymond C. Davis from Georgia. I could do a whole rundown on these people, but I do mention some of them from time to time. Dan Smoot. Do you know the Dan Smoot reports? Do you know the right-wing anti-Semitic hatred? Do you want me next week to brush up? I just bought a book a while back and another companion piece to it on the Dan Smoot reports. You know what he writes and thinks besides Revillo Oliver with Otto Skorzeny and the Dallas crowd? I've gone pretty slow this week. As I say, I've got a lot of information. Edward Teller on the board of Western Goals. Oh, yeah, I forgot that, darling. Also on the board of Heliognetics with Mr. Simon, Sovereign Military Order of Malta. Did you read now where William Simon was making $70 million last week by the merger of his Gibson greeting card with Disney? $70 million in 1 week for a merger, and he's been appointed by the Vatican to be the spokesman for capitalism. I had that on the air a few weeks ago. Teller combines the Western Goals and Heliognetics and the space war contracts with Daniel Graham, whose offices are with Fritz Kramer. Remember that? And on the board with Heliognetics and Edward Teller is Robert Keith Gray, who combines the salaries for Mrs. Edwin Meese and these various institutions and front organizations with Paul Laxalt as his best friend and William Casey, the close Vatican connections of the Public Relations Office, CIA, and it was his idea to send William Wilson to Rome to represent the United States while he interferes with Paul Marcinkus and Mark Rich and his boss Henry Kissinger's partner from 20th Century Fox. Kissinger on the board, Rich owning half of it. So Western Goals has the interlocking links going to these other organizations too, and now we've got to spread the Laxalts, the Helen Taylors and their kind, the Christian crusade into the humanities. That's what Reagan wants. That's what Reagan's going to get. It's pretty scary. We'll go on to the next 8 or 9 appointments in somewhat detail so you can see what we're going to get. I know that the Burford appointment was knocked down, but there's nobody as prominent as her, and they'll say, well, we gave you that one, so give us all the other appointments, and whatever Reagan wants, Reagan gets. So we'll sign off at this time. I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Bressel, and take care of yourselves, and keep sending me books, articles. I love it. Thank you very much.